As I was thinking about this morning and what we do after the resurrection, well, I started reading in Scripture what Jesus did after the resurrection. And I came to Matthew chapter 28, some of Jesus' last words before he was ascended into heaven. It says, Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And so some of Jesus' last words before he ascended to the right hand of the Father in heaven were that, first of all, he had been given all authority in heaven and on earth. He was King of kings and Lord of lords over not just those disciples that he was talking to, but over all of heaven and all of earth. And I don't think we can understand authority in our culture today, because we don't understand kings. We don't understand the power. I saw that movie, The Man with the Iron Mask, years ago, and I'm just watching it in awe of the power of the king. And it gave me a new understanding of the power of the king. Whatever the king says happens. And Jesus is saying, "I am the king. I have all authority." And that's why we can sing that song, "I speak the name of Jesus over everything." And it's not because Jesus is a magic word. It doesn't work just because we speak the name of Jesus. It's when we recognize the authority that is in the name of Jesus that it matters. Because Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. And he told the disciples, his disciples, those who had been living with him for 3 years, had been learning from him and had been obeying him. He said, "Go, because I have all authority. I want you to go and preach the gospel and make disciples of all the nations." Because Jesus is Lord and King over all the nations. Whether they know it or not, whether we know it or not, Jesus is King and Lord, and he has all authority over all the nations and all people that have ever lived and will ever live on this earth. And in heaven, he is King of kings and Lord of lords. And he told them to baptize him in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then he said, "And teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that he had given them as he had lived with them the last 3 years." You know, part of the mission statement that Paul recites every Sunday, pretty much, every Sunday, love God, love others, and make disciples, is make disciples. That's what we are supposed to be about at Three Point Bible Church, is loving God, loving others, and making disciples. Well, what does it mean to make a disciple? Because Jesus said, "Go into all the world and make disciples." So what are we supposed to be doing? Well, certainly it means to share the gospel with them, that Jesus Christ came in a physical body as a human being, and he died on a cross for our sins. He shed his blood. He paid the price for our sins. His death was in place of our death, because the wages of sin is death, and we all deserve death. So Jesus took our death, and then he was buried, and then on the third day he rose again, and then he ascended into heaven. We are to preach that gospel and call people to put their faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But Jesus says we're not just to share that and ask them to believe that. We are to teach them to obey everything that he has said, everything that he has commanded them. And sometimes I think we get a little bit slack in that area, and teaching them, we forget that he said, teach them to obey. You know, most people are familiar with John 3:16, But fewer people know the rest of the chapter, where John the Baptist says in verse 36, he says, anyone who believes in God's Son has eternal life. Anyone who doesn't obey the Son will never experience eternal life, but remains under God's judgment. So we see there what the Bible does is it always equates faith with obedience. If you believe something, you will live in accordance with it, is what the Bible teaches. That what we say we believe, we will obey. That's what a lot of the book of James is about, is faith without works is dead. So that's what I want to talk about this morning, is the teach them to obey. In Luke 24, verse 47, we see the gospel message that was to be proclaimed to all the world after Jesus' resurrection. And this is how Jesus himself put it. He said, go and tell the world this message. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. That's how Jesus preached the gospel. In fact, the first words that Jesus said when he started his ministry were, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus always preached that word, repent. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent, who turn from going their own way and turn to his way. I heard someone say the other day that they wanted the song My Way sung at their funeral. And I'm thinking to myself, I hope not. I hope not. And maybe if you don't understand why I say that, you haven't listened to the words of that song. I wouldn't want to die and have somebody proclaim she did it her way. I want people to say she did it his way. She did it Jesus' way. Because if we die proclaiming I did it my way, doing it our way leads to hell. There's no other way to say it. That's what the Bible says. Doing it your way leads to hell. And if Jesus has all authority, then he's the boss. He's Lord. And if he's your Lord, then you submit to his authority. And if you don't, he's not your Lord. We can't say that Jesus is our Lord and do it our way. We have to do it his way. And Jesus said that very thing in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. He says, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, not everyone who calls me Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. He says, on judgment day, many, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. Y'all, that ought to scare the living daylights out of some of us that have been preaching a gospel that was just the love of God, the grace of God, and no need for repentance, because that is nowhere in the Bible. It is nowhere in the Bible. And as we're going to see in the next few weeks as we do a series on the red letters, the actual words of Jesus, we are going to see that that's not in the Bible. I told you Jesus' first recorded message in Matthew 4:17 says, from then on Jesus began to preach, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And the word for you today that Paul encourages everyone to read every day, On March 3rd, Tuesday, March 3rd, under the title, I Have Not Shunned to Declare to You the Whole Counsel of God, which was from Scripture, one of the things Paul the Apostle said. He said, I haven't failed to tell you the whole counsel of God. Under that day, there was a quote from William Booth, who is the founder of the Salvation Army. And this is what he said, and it stuck with me. I talked about it in Sunday school that week, and it came to my mind as I was doing this week. Over 100 years ago, he said this: the chief dangers which confront the coming century will be religion without the Holy Ghost, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, politics without God, and heaven without hell. And y'all, we live in that very generation where that has come true. Because so often we are preaching a Christianity without Christ as Lord. We are preaching forgiveness where there's been no repentance. We are preaching that people are saved when there has been no regeneration. And Jesus said, you must be born again. And that's not just lip service or church attendance, but you actually become a new creature in Christ. The old has gone, the word says, and the new has come. If we belong to Jesus, if He is our Lord, we have been born again and given new life, given eternal life. And no one can snatch us out of His hands, but there has to be that new birth. We can't just all of a sudden one day think, I'm just going to go to church and I'm going to be a part of the fellowship of the church. No, we've got to be born again. We've got to have the Holy Spirit give us that new birth. We've got to receive Jesus Christ as Lord, and we've got to repent of our sins, of going our way and going His way. Jesus said more than once, unless you repent, you will perish. Remember the story in the Gospels when the people came up to Him and they told Him about the Tower of Siloam that fell on these people and killed all these people. And then they told Him about some of the Galileans that had been killed. And Jesus' response wasn't to say anything about, oh gosh, that's terrible, I hate it, those people died. Jesus' response was, well, unless you repent, you will also likewise perish. That's what Jesus said. So what He's telling us is, unless we repent, we're just going to die like everybody else. Every single person, all of us have to repent. Jesus, at one time, He accused the Pharisees of disregarding God's word for the sake of their tradition. In Matthew chapter 15, there's this story in verses 1 through 9. It says, some Pharisees and teachers of religious law now arrived from Jerusalem to see Jesus. And they ask Him, why do your disciples disobey our age-old tradition? For they ignore our tradition of ceremonial hand washing before they eat. Jesus replied, and why do you, by your traditions, violate the direct commandments of God? For instance, God says, honor your father and mother. And anyone who speaks disrespectfully of father or mother must be put to death. But you say it is all right for people to say to their parents, sorry, I can't help you, for I have vowed to give to God what I would have given to you. In this way, you say they don't need to honor their parents. And so you cancel the word of God for the sake of your own tradition. Jesus said to them, you hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, for he wrote, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God. And that same story in Mark chapter 7 ends with this: for you ignore God's law and substitute your own tradition. And then he said, you skillfully sidestep God's law in order to hold on to your tradition. And I thought, do we do that sometimes? To hold on to our beliefs, what we've always believed to be true? Do we kind of skillfully sidestep what Jesus says? Do we, because of the God that we think we worship, the God the way we have made him in our own image, the way we think he should be, we disregard what Jesus plainly said in his word? And we're just like the Pharisees when we do that. We're no different. If we say, read a word of Jesus, if you hear the words that I'm saying this morning, you say, well, I don't believe that because God would never do that. You're just like the Pharisees. We're doing just the same thing as the Pharisees. We are skillfully sidestepping for the sake of our own pet theologies, our own pet traditions, our own pet beliefs, the things that we want to be true. And so what we need to do instead is to submit to the authority of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and listen to what he says and say, okay, Jesus, I'm going to get my view of God from you. From now on, I'm going to get what I believe about God from you and what you say instead of what that preacher said when I was a kid or what my friend thinks or what the TV tells me. I'm going to get what I think about you and what you think from what you said in your word. And I'm going to choose to believe you and walk and obey you instead of anything or anybody else. We need to be very careful that we don't disregard or cancel what Jesus said for the sake of our beliefs, our denominational traditions, or anything like that. We need to make sure what Jesus said. And I want to encourage everyone here as we begin this series on the red letter words, on what Jesus really said, I want to encourage you to read the Gospels for yourselves. Don't just believe what I say or what Paul says or what some preacher on the radio or TV says. Read the Gospels for yourselves and read. I mean, reading them again this week, going through them again this week, as many times as I've read them, I'm just like, wow, wow. You know, I remember reading, I think it was Howard Hendricks or someone, a great Bible teacher, said that he read the Gospels every month. He read the Gospels through from beginning to end every month. And I remember when I read that, I thought, well, that's a great idea. I think I'll do that. Well, I didn't, but I wish I did, you know, because we forget so much that Jesus said. We forget so much. If you've truly been born again, then I don't dare want to make you doubt your salvation. That is not my purpose up here this morning. But if sin is the practice of our lives, and we know it, we know we've got sin in our lives, we know we are not submitted to Jesus, we know that we are not honoring him as the authority that he is, then I want you to do something about it right now, right here this morning, and repent. You know, the whole letter of 1 John is telling you how you can know that you belong to Jesus. There's like five things that he mentions in there. But two of the telltale signs that we can know without a shadow of a doubt that we belong to Jesus is, first of all, love for his people. In 1 John 3, 14 and 15, it says, if we love our brothers and sisters who are believers, it proves that we have passed from death to life. But a person who has no love is still dead. Anyone who hates another brother or sister is really a murderer at heart. And you know that murderers don't have eternal life within them. I didn't say that. It's in the Bible. But it's a very eye-opening wake-up call. Do we love the body of Christ? Do we love our brothers and sisters in Christ? That's a sign that we've truly been born again, because the Holy Spirit of God has given life to us, to our spirit, and has poured His love through us to the body, to His people. And so if we don't have that love for the body, and if we do, we ought to be here every Sunday. And I know I'm preaching to the choir, because y'all are all here every Sunday. But we ought to love each other so much that we show up for each other. That's what it means to be saved. That's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. It means that we are filled with love for His people. And if we don't have it, we need to get on our face and say, Jesus, give it to me. I want that love for Your people. And then a second telltale sign in 1 John is righteous living. In 1 John 2:8, it says, we can be sure we know Him if we obey His commandments. If someone claims to know God and does not obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. In 1 John chapter 3:10, it says, so now we can tell who are children of God and who are children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love other believers does not belong to God. This is Scripture, y'all. This is the Bible. This is Scripture. And so we need to wrestle with it. If you're listening to me this morning, you're struggling with this, you need to wrestle with it, because Paul said in Philippians, I think he said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. If there's a word of God that bothers you, you need to wrestle with it. You need to take it to Jesus and say, I need help with this. I need to understand this, because we are in a relationship with Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we ought to be able to go to Him and ask Him and talk to Him and pray to Him and say, Lord, what do You want me to do? You are my Lord. I think the reason I fell on this morning, and if you know, I know I'm preaching to the choir. I know y'all are sitting there probably thinking, Sandra, why are you saying this to me? I'm here every Sunday. I love God. I love everybody in here. I'm involved. I know, but y'all, I'm so grieved so often over the church and over the world, because we're miserable. We don't have the power of God in our lives. The church doesn't look very different from the world oftentimes. And I'm like, why, Lord? Why? 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 And I think this is part of the reason, because we aren't in His Word. We aren't listening to what Jesus said, and we're not living as if He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we are submitted to His authority, and we obey every word that comes out of the mouth of the Lord. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15 through 19, he says, work hard so that you can present yourself to God and receive His approval. Be a good worker. You know, and let me stop right there, because I think that part of our problem in our culture today is we threw the baby out with the bathwater when the grace movement came in. And we didn't want anybody to even hint that there was a work involved in Christianity, that it was all grace. So we threw repentance out, the baby with the bathwater. Repentance was that. And it's all about the love of God. Well, you're not saved by love. Guys, we're not saved by love. God loves the whole world. But Jesus says, the road is narrow and few ever find it to life. He says the way to destruction is broad and many go that way. That's what Jesus said. And if Jesus said it and we're trusting Him for salvation, we need to listen to everything that He said. And so we can't throw out repentance. Repentance is not a work. But that's what we did in our culture. And so when I even read this, work hard so you can present yourself, some people's minds just shut down and they say, no, you're adding works to salvation. No, I'm not. Repentance is not a work. Repentance is turning from doing it your way and you as the boss of your life and acknowledging that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I am going to obey him. Y'all, there aren't going to be people in the kingdom of God that don't obey the king. And we can't live on this earth disobeying the king and think that we're going to heaven and we're going to miraculously obey him. It's not going to happen according to the word of God, not according to me. Jesus said there will not be any of that in my kingdom. In my kingdom, you're going to obey the king, Jesus says. And so we should be obeying the king now if we are his. Back to 2 Timothy, work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. Avoid worthless, foolish talk that only leads to more godless behavior. This kind of talk spreads like cancer, as in the case of Hymenaeus and Philetus. They have left the path of truth, claiming that the resurrection of the dead has already occurred. In this way, they have turned some people away from the faith. But God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone with this inscription: the Lord knows those who are his, and all who belong to the Lord must turn away from evil. Do you hear that? God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone with this inscription: the Lord knows those who are his, and all who belong to the Lord must turn away from evil. There's a hymn that I grew up singing that explains how we as Christians are to live. It's called Trust and Obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we share, not a sorrow we not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. But we never can prove, and this is the key verse for me, but we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for them who will trust and obey. And I remember December of 1984 when I laid it all on the altar. All on the altar. And I knew what this verse was talking about. I'd grown up in the church singing this verse since I was old enough to sing. But it wasn't until I was 24 years old that I knew what it meant to prove the delights of his love. When you lay it all on the altar and you say, Jesus, you are Lord. You are my Lord. You are my King. And I don't care if the world goes with me. I don't care where you send me. I don't care what you tell me to do. You are my Lord, and I will obey you even when it hurts. When you call me to love you more than I love my children, I'll love you more than I love my children. No matter what you call me to do, you are my Lord. And that's what we're called to, guys. That's what Jesus calls us to. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. You cannot leave out that obedience piece. If you want the joy of the Lord in your life, you gotta obey him. Let's pray. Lord, help us. Help us to obey. Lord, speak to us, we pray. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would come into each of our hearts and our lives in power, in authority. Lord, that you would comfort, that you would encourage, that you would convict, that you would do whatever you want to do. But Lord, I pray for each person in this place this morning that we would humble ourselves before you and seek your face and walk with you. And Lord, that you would do great and mighty things among us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.